Chapter number 6, and I'll come back tonight, Lord willing. And again, I'm not trying to grieve the Spirit of God. I want the Lord to do exactly what He stands in need of, or what we stand in need of, and what we need from God's Word. Just want to give you something brief, and we'll let you go. And I do appreciate a soul being saved this morning. I thank God for our dear brother Thomas that come by. And when Brother Mike mentioned chicken feet, him and his wife looked at each other and smiled. So I think they've eaten that before. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with that. I eat everything on chicken but the cluck. Amen. And I'm a Baptist preacher. Amen. My stomach's a chicken graveyard. My belt's the fence around it. All right. Some of y'all are getting that a little bit later, but that's all right. I want you to notice a word that Paul has given the church of Galatia. This is a good church. And he gives them some instruction. I'm going to come back probably tonight and give the thrust of the message, but I do want to give you a thought. Actually, my message, and I may wait till tonight to come back to verse 1, it said, "Brethren." Now we see exactly he's talking to the church. He's not talking to unsaved folks. This is an exhortation for the church. Now get a hold of this. We wonder as Christians how we ought to go about things. This is one area that God's people need to be reminded of. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. It didn't say when a man. In other words, we're not looking to be. This is not something that God's people go after. If a man, it can happen. Shouldn't happen, but it can happen. Now you get a hold of that. Now, this is not a text to pat someone on the head and tell them their sin was all right. But it is a text about restoring a brother. Amen. And you got to remember, and I'll probably repeat this, restoration and repentance has to go together. You can't just overlook the sin and say, all right, let's get back at it. We got restoring means you got to deal with the problem. The problem has to be dealt with. And it has to be dealt with by those that are spiritual, not those that are carnal. I don't want to get into this because I'll preach 45 minutes in this, and I know it's hot and I know many of you are tired. But yet, we got to remember, restoration is what God's people do if a brother is overtaken in a fault. Overtaken means he's by surprise. He wasn't expecting it. It wasn't something he was looking for. God's people shouldn't be looking for sin. We might be overtaken. It might come upon us. David was overtaken. Yeah. Folks, when he went out on his roof, I know he should have been in the battle, but when he went out on his roof, he wasn't looking to commit adultery and murder that day. He got overtaken with it. He wasn't saying, well, what kind of mischief can I get in today? What kind of trouble can I get in today? What can I do? I'm the king. I can do what I want. No, he wasn't looking for that. But he got overtaken with it. And restoration didn't come till he finally repented. And then God restored. He said, hey, he restoreth my soul. And of course, Psalm 51, he asked the Lord to restore his joy of thy salvation. He didn't ask the Lord to restore his salvation. Never lost that, but he lost the joy of it. He lost the victory because he was overtaken in a fault. And when the man of God approached him and gave him that illustration of the lamb, and he got mad about that, he said, you are the man. And his whole thing was rebuke, repentance, and restoration. If we don't, when Nathan rebuked him, he wasn't looking down on him, but yet a man can't be restored until he knows he's been overtaken. And then when that's dealt with, he can repent. And David did repent. And then God restored him. Now, he did have some scars. And the sword was on his family till the day he died. But he kept the throne and kept a right relationship with God after that. But so we see here, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So we see here, those that are spiritual will also be humble. Anybody that approaches you when you, if you've been overtaken with a fault, if you've been overtaken by some sin, and those that approach you from the church, and they want to belittle you, put you down, and they want to kick you. Folks, you understand that Baptists, independent Baptists, are basically the only ones that shoot their wounded. Folks, we don't okay the fall. But we got to realize we're robed in the same stuff. The same flesh. A man after God's own heart was overtaken with a fault. Are you listening to me? Folks, you understand that the most spiritual man was overtaken. The smartest man, Solomon, was overtaken. And the strongest man, Samson, was overtaken. So if the most spiritual man, David, could be overtaken with a fault. If the smartest man with the greatest wisdom, Solomon, could be overtaken with a fault. If the strongest man, Samson, can be overtaken in fault, who are we not to approach a fallen brother any other way? There was a time in my life that, you know, I was very, very immature, and I'd see people get stopped for speeding on the highway, and I'd say, oh, I bet they're embarrassed. How they got caught. And then I started getting caught. Man, oh, hey, y'all pray a hedge around me. But now, God knows my heart. Now, when I see it happen, I said, dear Lord, help them. The Lord, the only reason that's not me sitting there is because you got him first. See, I could be doing that as well. And so, therefore, those that are spiritual, they understand who they are. They understand without Christ what they are. They understand they ain't going to make it without him. They're not going to survive without him. They need the Lord. And that brother that's overtaken in a fault, you know, you know him. You know his life. You know the situation. And you're going to help him. And then you begin to think, man, he's more faithful than I am. He probably prays more than I do. He reads his Bible more than I do, and that'll humble you. Folks, I don't rejoice when preachers fall. It puts a fear in me. It scares me. Because I know me. I understand that, hey, but for the grace of God. So we have here a brethren that's overtaken. We got to deal with that sin. Hey, not sugarcoat it. Don't set it aside. Don't cover it up. Amen. Too much of that. But in a spirit of meekness, we go to him. And guess what? If he's a brother, he knows he's sinned because the Holy Ghost has told him so. The Spirit of God has revealed that to him. I don't know about you, but I can't fail God and disobey God without the Spirit of God convicting me. So they go to him and they encourage him to do what? To get it right. They encourage him that he can get it right. They encourage him, you don't have to stay down. A just man falls seven times, then riseth again. You don't have to stay down. Failure is not final. The only way failure is final if you stay there. But I'm embarrassed. I'm shamed. That's a good thing. But don't let the devil pounce on your flesh with that so much you can't, by the grace of God, stand back up. Get right with God. Hey, if you have to make a public confession, I want to confess my sin to God. I understand that. But if you've hurt others along the way, you might need to stand before the church and say something. Oh, I'm too good for that. Well, you'll never be restored. People that are truly born again, filled with the Spirit of God, if someone does that, they'll get an outpouring of love, grace, and mercy shown to them. Why? Because that's what Jesus is doing. We don't need the Pharisaical spirits. And folks, I understand that word Pharisee is being used too loosely among us today. Every time somebody has a high standard, well, he's just a Pharisee. That don't make him a Pharisee. What makes him a Pharisee is he says, if you don't do like I do, you're not saved. That makes him a Pharisee. This pious and holier than thou spirits that's in the churches today ought not so to be. Amen. Folks, I'm not sugarcoating sin. We'll never do that. I hate sin when I commit it. I hate sin when you commit it. I'm thankful that the Lord said, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. That's what God desires, that we sin not. That we sin not. But if you do, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm not preaching this or quoting these verses to give you an ease in sin. I'm letting you know there's a way out of it. You understand? I'm not okay in your sin. If you don't get it right, God will chasten you and continue to chasten you. And if you continue to rebel against God, He'll destroy the flesh that the soul will be saved in the last day. He'll put you in a premature grave. I'm not okay in sin at all, but I am telling you there's a way out through the blood of Christ. Amen. You can get right with God. You can repent. You can turn from it and turn to Christ. You can begin to walk right, and by the grace of God, daily seek His face, daily live holy, daily trust God. You don't have to stay down. And we which are spiritual, you which are spiritual, it's our duty, it's our obligation, it's our privilege to go and search out the wounded and get them back on their feet. Amen. We have sometimes, I understand we get kind of aggravated with folks because, you know, one day they'll say they got right with God. I'm talking about Christian folks. They get right with God. They'll be faithful to church for a while, and the next thing you know, they slack it again. I'm tired of babysitting. Well, I understand that. It's time some of you grow up. Time some of you put priorities where you ought to be. God first. God first. And when God's first, church will be a priority. Prayer and reading your Bible will be a priority. Living right will be a priority. Amen. When God's first. It won't be when I'm going to satisfy my flesh. I ain't going to church this morning. I want to go down to the lake. I want to go down to the ocean. I'm going to go up to the hills. I ain't going to church today. I'm not talking about vacations. I'm just talking about you get up one morning. You set yourself up for a fall. You set yourself up for something you don't need. Again, we all need vacation. The Lord told the disciples, come apart for a while. That's not what I'm referring to. I'm referring to when God, the church, is not a priority. You understand? I know it's June, July, it's vacation time, and you deserve a vacation. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But when God's not the priority, something's missing. Well, I get to sleep late on Sunday. I get to, hey, you're headed for a fall. And I know sometimes those folks get aggravated to deal with. But you, which are spiritual, we still need to try to restore them. Still need to pray for them. Still need to love them. Hello. Still need to be there for them. Amen. Come on. Hey, folks, the prodigal. I know that parable is talking about someone getting saved. But the parable, the picture, the father never did give up on him. It's that song, he never gave up on me. The father's still standing where he left. The father, hey, was still seeking him. Still looking for him, even though he squandered, even though he rebelled, even though he walked away with his own free will and rebelling against the Father. He was still looking for him. Don't be so quick to give up on folks. He never gave up on you. He never gave up on you. Read that verse again. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Let's all stand. Sis, come to the piano.